We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
All right, welcome to Hoops Tonight here at The Volume. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy NBA Finals. We finally made it. Coverage of the NBA Finals here at Hoops Tonight is brought to you by Chase Freedom Unlimited. How do you cash back? Well, we've officially made it. I'm going to do a full series preview today. We're going to hit three major matchups for our Chase three-point segment for what I expect over the course of these NBA Finals. Going to dive a lot into both sides of the ball, into some schematic things that I expect from both teams, and then I'm going to give a pick. And then after that, I'll give the case for why the other team has a chance to win. You guys know the drill. Before we get started, subscribe to The Volume's YouTube channel so you don't miss any more of our videos. Follow me on Twitter at @_JasonLT so you guys don't miss any show announcements. And if for whatever reason you miss one of these videos and you can't get back over to YouTube to finish, don't forget you can find them wherever you get your podcasts under Hoops Tonight. All right, let's talk some basketball. I love the NBA Finals. I remember growing up every single time game one or any of the games would start, you'd have that really cool video that ABC would show as they're getting ready to throw the ball up at center court. And there's a history there. There's a meaning in like a it's almost it has like a very sacred meaning to me personally. And that's why it's a big part of why, like, when we're talking about player rankings and, you know, one of your guys' favorite players is someone that you think is the best, and like I'm a little bit slower to get there, and why I give so much preferential treatment to the guys that have won championships, it has a lot to do with how sacred I think the NBA Finals are. This is the ultimate test of a basketball player to succeed on this stage after everything you've done over the course of the previous three rounds. And so I'm really excited for Nikola Jokic and for Jimmy Butler. They both have an opportunity in this series to stamp themselves as one of those guys, as one of the greatest basketball players in NBA history to lead a team to an NBA championship. And that's what's cool. Like, no matter what, when this is all said and done, either Jimmy Butler or Nikola Jokic, one of those two guys, is going to be stamped as an NBA champion. I'm very, very excited for that. And without any further ado, let's do the usual. We're going to go through the series notes to get started. Denver, as of right now, is a minus 420 favorite, rapidly increasing line. Denver swept the season series 2-0. Not a ton to learn there. Jamal Murray missed one of the games. Caleb Martin played 28 total minutes in the two games. DeAndre Jordan was getting run. A lot of Bones Highland throwing up threes. A lot of guys for both teams that won't be in the rotation at all whatsoever. Seeing a little Tyler Herro, who I expect to actually make an appearance in this series. But there was some stuff to learn, right? Like, I got to see a little bit of Bam battling with Nikola Jokic on both ends of the floor. I got to see Jimmy attacking matchups the way he's been doing this entire postseason. We got to see a lot of what Miami's zone defense looks like against Denver, so I'm going to share a lot of that stuff with you. But most of our projections are going to come based on what we've seen from these two teams in this postseason run. So this is going to be our Chase 3 points segment. Number one, can Miami slow down Denver's offense? So, Denver's size will force Miami to play bigger, in my opinion. At least bigger than they did over the course of the Boston Celtics series. I wonder if Eric Spoelstra will go back to Kevin Love in the starting lineup in order to combat that. Because then the matchups start to make a little bit more sense. You consider putting Kevin Love on Nikola Jokic. Kevin Love is good at battling for position. It's a type of defender that'll do just as well against a Jokic type as anybody else, which is more of a statement that Jokic just pretty much going to destroy everybody, right? But Kevin Love is going to hold up at least in some of those position battles. I'd put Bam Adebayo on Aaron Gordon in that case and kind of have him roaming around on the back line. You put Jimmy Butler and Michael Porter Jr., which is a better size for size matchup. Probably have Max Strus on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Gabe Vincent on Jamal Murray. You could probably also get away with putting Kevin Love on Aaron Gordon as well. But whether or not Kevin Love is playable in this series will go a long way because of the size matchups and how difficult they get if you can't go that route. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Love. It could be Zeller. But I think Love is probably a little bit more likely just because he's bigger and stronger as lower center of gravity. But if those two guys get played off the court, it gets pretty tough because now you're asking Bam Adebayo to match up with Nikola Jokic. Now you're putting Jimmy Butler on Aaron Gordon. He's given up a lot of weight and height to Aaron Gordon. Now Max Strus is slotting down to Michael Porter Jr., not nearly going to bother Michael Porter Jr. as much as a Jimmy Butler could. And now you're putting on, you're asking Caleb Martin, if you move him into the starting lineup, to chase around Jamal Murray, which I think that matchup is one that Miami can live with. But they're giving up a lot of size across the board. And if you really look at how much Miami struggled rebounding against Boston, and then remember, post-deadline, the Los Angeles Lakers were fourth in rebounding post-deadline because of the size that they added, Anthony Davis really engaging himself, LeBron James when he came back to the team. They got absolutely destroyed on the glass by Denver. You guys might remember a point in game one where Denver at one point had grabbed 20 of the first 23 rebounds in that game. So there's a massive size advantage there that I think is going to be one of the biggest determining factors over the course of the series. And it's going to be very important for Miami to be able to match up across the board. And I think the Kevin Love minutes and whether or not they're viable are going to go a long way there. So obviously rebounding is going to play a huge role in this series. But where's the other place that size can become an issue? In post-up situations. So Miami ran a good amount of drop coverage against the Murray-Jokic actions, but they also did a lot of switching across the board. And in those situations, Denver absolutely pulverized them over the course of the season, attacking those switches. As a matter of fact, they ran 30 post-ups in their two matchups with Miami this year, and in those 30 post-ups, scored 47 points. So over a point and a half per possession. A lot of the usual stuff, right? Nikola Jokic getting a deep seal, drawing a double team and throwing that pass to a cutter or to a shooter or just bullying his way into the lane for a layup. But there was there was one game where Miami just persistently was allowing Kyle Lowry to switch on to Aaron Gordon, and Denver just backed Nikola Jokic out to the top of the key and posted up Aaron Gordon and just spammed that action. And Aaron Gordon was just scoring time and time again, whether it was hitting cutters or hitting shots over the top. So Denver's just way, way better at making you pay for switching smaller players onto bigger front court players than Boston was. And that's a dynamic over the course of the series that's going to be a much bigger challenge for Eric Spoelstra and those guys to deal with than it was in the last round. So what can Miami do to combat that? They tried some doubling. There was a play where they doubled Nikola Jokic. He just drops it off to Vlado Koncar under the basket. You know, there's a play where in that sequence where Aaron Gordon was attacking Kyle Lowry all the time, where they ended up double teaming and Aaron Gordon just shoveled it right to Michael Porter Jr. under the basket for a dunk. So Denver's really good at handling that as well. My guess is Eric Spoelstra just tries to do a ton of mixing up coverages to disrupt rhythm. So I think we'll see some doubles. I think we'll see him leave him on an island every once in a while. I think we'll see some digging and recovering. But I think the post-up battle is going to be the main way that Denver attacks Miami over the course of this series and where I expect them to have the most success. They're just too big and too good at spacing the floor and making teams pay for double teams. It's just a really tough matchup for Miami on that.
Hair thinning is not inevitable. Take control of your hair's future before it's too late with Nutrafol's clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, and faster-growing hair with less shedding. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are physician-formulated using 100% drug-free ingredients. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after 6 months of taking Nutrafol men's hair growth supplements. Take the first step to visibly thicker and healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code HOOPS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and their hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men, and then enter promo code HOOPS. That's HOOPS. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code HOOPS.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Front. In pick and roll. We don't have a ton to work with here on the film. There was only four Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic pick and rolls during the regular season where Miami didn't switch and ended up just attacking out of the post. They scored on all four of those possessions. And in all four cases, it was actually Jamal Murray making shots over the top. They did a lot attacking Tyler Herro. So, like, they would run a guard-to-guard screen to get Tyler Herro switched onto Jamal Murray, and then they'd bring Nikola Jokic up to attack because Jamal was just having too easy of a time ditching Tyler Herro on those screens and getting into the lane. When I'm saying he's making shots over the top, he's making shots in the short range. These are like little 10-foot floaters, the occasional layup. Like, he's getting easy shots in that pick-and-roll attack. Once again, I expect a lot more of mixing coverages. I think we'll see some drop coverage when guys like Caleb Martin or Gabe Vincent or Kyle Lowry on him. I think we'll see some switching and fronting the post. Miami's a great team when it comes to fronting the post and applying back pressure. So essentially, like, when the switch happens, they get in front of Jokic and try to prevent that easy post entry, right? So Jokic will push on his back and create a target up high, right? But what Miami will do is they'll offer so much backside help that it's just an extremely difficult pass to make. Now, Jokic is so damn big, he's going to score on some of those anyway, but it's going to be that skip pass across the court that's wide open. And I think Spoelstra is going to really challenge Jamal Murray in particular to consistently make that skip pass across the court. I think we'll see some random blitzes, right? Like, just to disrupt rhythm and to try to catch Jamal Murray off guard. Don't be surprised if we see some super aggressive Miami stuff at the front, at the point of attack, blitzing and getting the ball out of Jamal Murray's hands. And then I wouldn't be surprised if at some point over the series we saw Jimmy Butler switch onto Jamal Murray and basically start switching Jimmy and Bam in that action, and doing that same kind of front the post kind of thing, just with a bigger athlete in Jimmy Butler up front. That, I think the Heat will have a much easier time handling the pick and roll stuff because it's a little bit more of an area where Spoelstra can come into play with his schematic approach. But I do think we'll see a good amount of that in this series. And then the zone. So zone was a huge factor in this Boston Celtics series as Spoelstra used it basically to plague Boston into their worst offensive tendencies. Didn't work against Denver. They ran 13 possessions of zone. Denver scored 20 points, and it looked exactly like what you expected. Boston never got the ball to the middle of the floor. Denver just parked Nikola Jokic right at the foul line. He's this huge target, and then when he turns and faces, it's a lob thread at the basket and Aaron Gordon and three elite shooters around him. It's just way too easy, and Jokic is like got this touch pass thing going. They'll just throw the ball up high to him, and he'll just catch it and already make the read and just fling the ball to where it's supposed to go. So I don't think zone's going to be an option. The reality is Denver's just really hard to guard. You have all the Jokic-Murray stuff. And Murray's just so dialed in with his pick-and-roll shot-making right now that I don't know how the hell you guard him. They have elite off-ball threats. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Michael Porter Jr. are both knockdown shooters. Aaron Gordon, with the lob threat that he is under the basket, with his ability to duck in for easy seals and dunks, with what he does on the offensive glass, they're just really difficult to guard. And all those guys can make plays on their own as well. Aaron Gordon, we talked about attacking in the post. He's good with those transition slot drives, too. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and his pull-up shooting in dribble handoff situations, that was a big factor in that Lakers series. Michael Porter Jr. in his ISO pull-up shooting, especially against smaller defenders. Bruce Brown in his semi-transition drives, getting to the basket with his athleticism. The Lakers were a truly elite defense, in my opinion, a better defense than this Miami Heat team, and Denver just completely cut them to pieces. And that was with the best defensive player in the world and Anthony Davis on the floor too. I honest to God don't know what the answer is. And so that's going to be the biggest factor in the series is there any chance that Miami can slow down Denver on the offensive end? Number two, can Miami keep up with Denver on their offensive end of the floor? So I think we'll see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope start on Gabe Vincent and then Caleb Martin when he comes into the game, presuming that he comes off the bench. I think we'll see Aaron Gordon start on Jimmy Butler, but I also think we'll see some Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and some Bruce Brown there as well. I want to kind of split this into three sections. I want to look at guard pick and rolls. I want to look at Bam ISOs. And then our third section of the chase three points is going to be Jimmy Butler stuff. So in guard pick and roll. So this is anything that's like Kyle Lowry with the ball, Gabe Vincent with the ball, Caleb Martin with the ball, high pick and roll with Bam Adebayo. I think we'll see Jokic in a high drop coverage, just like he's done throughout this playoff run, with a lot of weak side help. So the skip pass is going to be what's open. If/when Miami wins games in this series, I think it's going to be with one of the big factors is going to be red hot 3-point shooting, specifically on those skip passes to the weak side with the way that Denver loads up on pick and roll. But here's the thing, Denver's defensive rotations, just like Miami's, are outstanding and they're going to get contests on those shots. They're not going to be easy and they're definitely not going to lose shooters as frequently as Boston did. Boston was a very sloppy defense relative to the amount of talent that they had. Bam ISOs, he ran 6 ISOs and post-ups versus Denver, scored 4 points on him. He had one really nice quick move against Nikola Jokic in a post-up where he hit like 2 quick up fakes and then got to the baseline and made like a little bank shot off the glass. So he had like a significant quickness advantage there. But I don't expect that to play a significant part in the series, especially since Bam really kind of lost confidence over the course of that Celtics series and was struggling to finish really anything. I think, like, obviously it's a wild card. You feed him a little bit early in game one, and maybe he beats Jokic off the dribble a few times, and it kind of fuels his confidence, and then everything gets better from there. But I don't expect it to be a huge part of this series, which takes us to number three. Can Jimmy Butler play Nikola Jokic to a draw? So as I look at this series, Miami's biggest advantage is the Jimmy Butler matchup hunting thing. We saw LeBron, for instance, was the best offensive player in the Lakers series for the Lakers, right? And a big part of that was just the ability he had to not only make plays in high pick and roll, but to persistently bring weaker Denver defenders into the ball screens, get switches, and then work his way down to the block. And it was more challenging for LeBron because D'Angelo Russell couldn't make a damn shot and Dennis Schroeder couldn't shoot off the move. So as soon as they moved Jamal Murray off of Austin Reeves, they didn't really have a good option to go to because those pick and pops or those go screens were going to guys who couldn't make a play when they would catch, right? It's going to be a little different than with Miami because Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and Max Strus are all red hot from three. And Jamal Murray's going to have to guard one of those guys. And so you're going to see a lot of Jimmy Butler bringing Jamal Murray up into the screen and working him down on those clear side ISOs like we saw a lot against Boston. He had 9 points on 7 post-ups and ISOs during the regular season, so well over a point per possession. He had some success against Jamal Murray with those typical little short jump shots that you've seen over the course of this playoff run. He was just toasting Michael Porter Jr. off the dribble. He's just too slow. He did attack Jokic a few times on switches, and Jokic actually did a pretty nice job forcing him into contested jumpers, although Jimmy did make one of them. But I don't think Jimmy's going to spend a ton of time attacking Jokic in switches. I just don't think that that's going to be as productive for them as attacking the guards. But again, that's Miami's biggest advantage in this series. Can Jimmy Butler do what he's done all playoffs, preferably like what he did in the first round where he's great in every single game, just persistently attacking the weaker Denver defenders on the floor? My 3 points were brought to you by Chase Freedom Unlimited. Earn 5% on travel through Chase, 3% on dining, including takeout, 3% at drugstores, and 1.5% on everything else. How do you cash back? All right, my pick. I'm going with Denver in 6. My gut says Denver in 5, but I just can't do that anymore with this Miami Heat team. They're just too good at finding a way to win basketball games. But I think Denver's too big. I think they're too smart to fall victim to some of Spoelstra's strategic plays. I think they're too confident and too good to fall victim to some of Jimmy Butler's psychological intimidation. I think Jokic will consistently make them pay for weak defensive personnel in a way that other opponents for the Heat have not been able to. I pretty much think they're better than Miami in every single way, aside from the coaching staff. But I don't think that is going to be enough to matter. Now, Miami's path, they need Jimmy Butler to dominate from start to finish, just like he did against Milwaukee, and be the best player in the series. They need Eric Spoelstra to pull off the impossible and finally figure out a way to schematically disrupt Denver's offense when no one's been able to. They need red-hot three-point shooting from the role players, just like they had in the Celtics series. And they need some kind of major offensive contribution from one of the Heat role players, whether, like last round, it was Caleb Martin. Maybe it'll be like Bam Adebayo. Tyler Herro, again, could make an appearance in this series. Maybe he's that guy. But they need someone else to average 20 points per game in this series, just simply because of how powerful Denver's offense is for them to have any chance to keep up. So I'm going with Denver in 6, but that's Miami's path. We're going to be doing breakdowns every single night after the game. And then during the 2 days off in between, we'll always do a film breakdown. So you're going to get 2 videos for every single game during the NBA Finals. Like I said, later this afternoon, I'm going to be going with Liv, and she's our biggest Nuggets fan on staff. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Nuggets there, going with the Nerd Sesh guys on Wednesday, and then obviously game one on Thursday. As always, I appreciate you guys, and I will see you next time.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.